KMOX is at your service. Welcome to the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline. Celebrating 25 years as your host of the Garden Hotline. Here's Mike Miller on KMOX.
Good gardening, folks. We are live and lively from Deerberg's parking lot at 222, that's 222 North Highway 67, which is Lindbergh. And it's one of the numerous places where Deerberg's Earth Day commitment comes alive. Deerberg's has the Boy Scouts. They partner together here and all the other locations, too, across the metropolitan area. And they're accepting donations in the spirit of Earth Day. And if you give a donation, you get half off Cardinal tickets. So, yeah. More information related to this, MERS, M-E-R-S, goodwill.org. You can get the information on locations. Because I think there's 12 different Deerbergs. Some folks are actually here dropping off something the very first people of the morning. So now you know where we are. How's your landscape? How about your garden? How about your houseplants? What's going on? What's on your mind? This is your show, and I'm here to help you make sound decisions. And remember, healthy plants mean work, timing, and information. So you can call 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. The true brains behind this live and lively broadcast this week. In studios, Greg Harvey producing, and Alex is here as a remote engineer. I'm Mike Miller. I've written 5 gardening books. 2 are currently available at various locations. I've been doing the Garden Hotline for 25 years. And also, I write articles for the Missouri Gardener magazine. And during the week, I do something I call a walk and talk, where I come to your home and help you solve some of the problems, you know, whether they're aesthetic, whether they're actually, you know, let's say something wrong with the plants, care and maintenance, or whatever it happens to be. So you can go to my website, MikeMillerDesigns.com. On my homepage, my email address and phone number are there, so you can contact me. And today's Good Gardening Stroll is brought to you by St. Louis Composting, 636-861-3344. Ah, bright sun was spiced with various clouds. They were adding drama to the early morning road trip northward. Train whistles in the background as I stepped out of my car. And as I pulled into the parking lot, I pulled in my parking lot before I stepped out of the car. At least I think I did. And I noticed a KMOX van sitting there near the tractor trailer with a message on the side of the tractor trailer. The tractor's not here, just the trailer. Neighbors United on Earth Day and every day with Goodwill, and it has Goodwill's logo, and Scouted Out, which has the Boy Scout logo as well. The parking lot here has many islands, and a lot of them have white-blooming, smaller-growing crabapple trees. And they have an area of lawn underneath them that's green. The pink-flowering crabapples in the parking lot have finished blooming, and they're just pushing out some good leaves. And the green-friendly demarcation line separating Lindbergh from the parking lot, there's a great hedge of burning bush, which is green this time of year. In the fall, it'll be red. The entire length that runs, and there is access for cars to get in, and the sidewalk exits as well. Other plantings around, there's some upright junipers, which hide some of those scary metal boxes, and some folks are starting to show up, so that's really great. And there's some junipers, you know, those junipers have some blue cones or blueberries. They're not blueberries, they're blue cones, like a pine cone, only it's juniper cones. Viburnums, which are in flower, some spirea, some catmint, emerging ornamental grasses, clumps of daylilies, birds are singing. It's a brand new day. And the panorama, 360 degrees, as you stand here in the parking lot, shows a lot of giant emerging trees, not quite full-size leaves yet, but really getting going. It's a great day to head out with Earth Day in mind. So head out here to this Deerberg's and other Deerberg's as well, where Boy Scouts are going to be taking your donations and putting it into the tractor trailer truck or trailer for MERS Goodwill organization. So again, more information, MERSGoodwill.org. That's triple W. And again, for your donations, you get 1/2 off tickets for Cardinal games. So Mike Miller, KMOX Garden Hotline, back after these messages.
Mornings and afternoons, KMOX has news at the top and bottom of the hour, traffic and weather every 10 minutes, and sports at 15 and 45 on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX. This is the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with your host, Mike Miller, on KMOX.
Yes, folks, we are live and lively at Deerberg's on 222 North Highway 67, Lindbergh, which is in Florissant, where there's a great combination going on of Goodwill and Boy Scouts. So you can bring your donations here and drop off your donations between, is it 8 and 3 o'clock this afternoon? And you also get, for donating, not only just a good piece of, you know, a feeling in your heart, but also you get half off some Cardinal game tickets. So if you do have any questions or concerns about your landscape, your houseplants, or anything else, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Greg Harvey will be taking your name and where you're calling from. He'll send that information up to Alex, and then we'll do whatever. And let's go. First call will be Ken, and he's in Washington County, Illinois. Hi, Ken.
Good morning. Two quick questions for you. We had a geranium in the house all winter, and it never bloomed. I want to take cuttings off of it and start more plants, obviously. And now it's blooming like crazy. Do I wait? Do I wait until it quits blooming, or can I take those cuttings now?
Yeah, if you take the cuttings off the stems that have flowers on them, you may have success with it, but I would say it's going to be somewhat limited because the flowering really stresses the plant out, even if it's not a cutting. So to take a cutting and then expect it to get rooted, I would say you're better off not to do it. You better wait.
Okay. One other quick question. We have an asparagus patch, and I deep mulched it with cypress mulch this spring. Do you have any problems with doing that?
No, because the acidity should be fine. Just not so deep that it's going to prevent the asparagus from spears from being able to shoot up.
No, they're coming up fine. But
okay, then you should be fine.
Very good. Thank you.
All right. Yep. So geraniums and asparagus in Washington County, Illinois. Now let's stay in Illinois and go to Mount Olive, and that's where Jeff is. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, Mike. How you doing? Hey,
Very good.
Quick question for you. I got like 250 feet of road frontage, and I'm trying to put like a living hedge on it or something. I was thinking burning bush, maybe privet or something. Do you have any suggestions for that? They have a girl, 8 to 10 foot tall, or.
Well, the burning bush, that's certainly a good tough one. You're saying it's along a road?
Correct. It's not a well-traveled road, actually. I only
probably
two or three cars go through it a day, but.
So you live in a really exotic place. But, yeah, the burning bush would be a good choice. And probably put them about 6 or 8 feet apart. That will allow them maturity. If you want them to infill quicker, then you just move, you plant them a little bit closer.
Do those grow pretty fast? I mean, in the next 3 or 4 years, will I be able to, 4 or 5 feet?
No. Depends upon what size you get. But you realize that, if you're buying even a 5-gallon pot, you're paying quite a bit for that individual plant. But it's still going to take, the larger the pot, the longer it takes to acclimate to actually get some active growth. So you're really looking at a considerable period of time, to be honest with you, to actually get a hedge going that's going to infill this space. And then you probably realize that the burning bush are deciduous, so during the wintertime they're not going to have any foliage on them at all.
Okay. Do you have any suggestions?
I would say maybe consider looking at some of the junipers, even the Pfizer type junipers or the upright junipers. They're evergreen. You can buy the junipers in larger sizes versus the burning bush. They're not going to give you any kind of fall color or anything, but they're going to give you year round screening.
Okay. All right. Well, appreciate it, Mike. Thank you.
Yep. And if anybody has any questions, concerns, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. I've got kind of a new segment I came up with just recently. It's called In the Rearview Mirror. And In the Rearview Mirror is a circumstance where something I've said 1 week, somebody's emailed me after that, and I found out that certain things maybe not quite what I was, I wasn't totally correct or right. But In the Rearview Mirror, the segment, I think it was last week, or maybe it was, no, it was probably like 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, a gentleman from Shiloh, Illinois called, and he said they've got all this Star of Bethlehem blooming over there in Shiloh. And I kept, I said, are you sure it's Star of Bethlehem? He said, well, I took it to a garden center, and we sort of identified it as Star of Bethlehem. But consequently, I kept saying, this time of year, it seems like Star of Bethlehem is a little bit early, and you might be looking at Clatonia, which is it's lower growing. He said, well, the foliage on the Star of Bethlehem really looks like onions. Well, I tell you, I was walking around our neighborhood, and there's a yard that is just full of Star of Bethlehem. It's in full bloom, and the foliage is definitely looking like onions. So I was probably wrong, and the gentleman was right with his identification of the Star of Bethlehem. Also, last week, I know this was last week for sure, a gentleman called and said he had some seeds of cucumbers that he started. The stem was about 4 inches long, and it had one set of leaves on it. And I said, well, probably, this is kind of a longish stem, so I recommended him just planting them outside right now. Somebody emailed me that is obviously a cucumber expert as far as growing. She said I should have told him to go ahead and just pot them up in a larger pot and bury the stem and keep them in pots and not take them outside, because she was a little bit concerned about the temperatures and everything along that line. So me recommending from her standpoint to put them outside wasn't probably the best advice. And then consequently also, she said that there's no problem burying the stem. And I was just worried that the stem may get bent or something like that. And she actually grows cucumbers enough that she makes 90 jars of pickles from the cucumber she grows. So she thought I was, I was wrong about a couple things about, actually getting the stem just to pot it up, as opposed to me saying, oh, just plant them outside and then get some more seed and start all over again, as opposed to just keeping those plants that already had, germinated, and just plant them in a pot and bury that stem. So in the rearview mirror, those are two circumstances I was probably not exactly right about certain things. So there's other things that are going on in the outdoors in your yard. The weed circumstance, well, first of all, I'll stay away from the weeds for right now. This has been the best year for flowering trees that I can remember. I mean, the dogwoods have been spectacular as far as pure whiteness. The redbuds are finished now, and they were striking as well. But, I mean, these dogwoods, not only just the white ones, but the pink ones, it just seems like everything is blooming in sequence as it should. And it's just been surprising to have to have this actually happen. And I thought sure there was going to be some major trouble because of the cold weather and everything else that was going on. So in the spring flowering bulbs, most of those are finished now, but they have been striking as well. So it's really been a spectacular springtime so far. So you can't really beat it at all. Let's go now to the phones. Let's head to William's yard, and he lives in St. Charles. Hi, William.
Well, good morning, everyone. Hi, Michael. I hope you're well. Speaking of dogwoods, I'm sitting in my garden as we speak, and I'm looking two doors down to my neighbor's yard. He has a beautiful white dogwood that, it's got to be 30 feet in full bloom. It's gorgeous. And you do know that there's blue dogwoods.
Blue? No, I don't know the blue ones.
I know red is called, I think, Indian Chief.
Right.
Or Indian something.
Or Cherokee
and I believe
Chief.
There's also a blue one. It's kind of rare, I guess.
Yeah, I've never seen it or heard of it.
I'm surprised. Michael, I'm calling about two things. Guzmania species. Is
which
that
species?
Familiar with you? I'm looking at the 5-inch pot. It says Guzmania species. It's a green plant. Well, it's a plant with green leaves and red, like a red plastic-looking flower in the middle. Are you familiar?
I'm sure it is, but I just can't think of it right now.
Not ringing a bell. Okay, well, right. The other thing I was talking about was, was a pet peeve I have that you may well share. When you go to the garden center and you buy a plant, normally everyone I've ever opened up has been root bound. And I noticed all my, a lot of my neighbors will buy the plastic pots with the little carrying case, and they'll leave them in there. And it's been my experience, every time I've opened one up, it's always been root bound, and I get the wrought iron carrying, or a wrought iron hanging basket, and I put it in there, and it seems to do a lot better.
Yeah, if plants are root bound, you can, you know, you generally just don't want to leave them in that pot. What you can do, if you don't want to pot them up into a bigger pot, is to pull the plant out, loosen the roots, put some different, put some new potting mix in the pot with them.
Exactly. And, yeah, that's what I do.
Yeah, so you're doing everything just right.
I'm trying. Oh, and by the way, my alyssum is looking really sweet. It's doubled in size since I put it in about 2 weeks ago.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
That's great.
I must have a green hand.
Beyond the thumb.
Real quick, what's the best way to get rid of rabbits?
That's a tough one. Some of the repellents, but don't stick, you know, stay with the repellent constantly, the same one, because they kind of get used to it. So
red pepper?
Red pepper, you could try it. The thing is, with something like red pepper, it doesn't have much resilience against any kind of rain or anything like that. So you'd have to be putting it out constantly. You could, try anything. So, some of the manufactured ones, some of the, let's say, the organic ones, some of the old wives' tail type things, and just always change them around, and that will keep the rabbits a little bit off balance.
A friend of mine gave me an old Jerry Baker book, and I put all my canna bulbs and all my elephant ears and sand in a 5-gallon bucket, and it worked perfect.
Great. Well, that's fantastic.
I must have 300 elephant ear bulbs.
Oh, my goodness.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yep.
I must have a green arm.
Well, thanks a lot. Mike Miller, KMOX Garden Hotline, back after these messages.
The news you heard on KMOX.
All our Sri Lankan people.
ISIS is claiming responsibility.
Steps towards impeachment.
Impeaching Trump.
Not there yet.
Welcome.
Joe Biden.
Battle for the soul of this nation.
We're calling him Sleepy Joe.
Gets in as the front runner.
Not the brightest light bulb.
What's next?
Harassing the president.
We're fighting all the subpoenas.
You'll hear it here.
Executive privilege is on the table.
The most accurate 2020 census.
For all the news you need to know.
Going right into the heart of the election.
They're not
going
to win against me.
It's News Radio 1120. KMOX.
Each year, Women of Achievement recognizes and honors 10 extraordinary women who dedicate their time in service to others. The annual Women of Achievement Luncheon is an opportunity to share and celebrate these remarkable stories of volunteerism and charitable work. This year's luncheon takes place Tuesday, May 14th at the Ritz-Carlton in Clayton. Enjoy a gourmet lunch and hear inspiring stories of how this year's honorees are making a difference in the lives of others. For event information and to purchase tickets, go to KMOX.com/WOA.
Welcome back to the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline. Once again, here's Mike Miller on KMOX.
Yes, folks, to the phones we go. If you do have any questions or concerns, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. We are live and lively in the Deerberg's parking lot at 222 North Highway 67, Lindbergh. And this is only one of numerous locations that the Boy Scouts, Deerberg's, and Goodwill have combined to really sort of like get it together related to Earth Day. And the big trailer in front of right where we're sitting says Neighbors United on Earth Day and every day. And it's got the logo for Goodwill, and it's got Scout It Out, and that's a logo for the Boy Scouts as well. So if you need more information on locations, you'd like to do some drop-offs because you get half off, you get a voucher for half off Cardinal tickets, you know, with your donation, you can go to mearsgoodwill.org and find out a location near you for the Deerberg. So let's go now back out to St. Charles and into Mark's yard. Hi, Mark.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I've got a big yard problem. I have about 2 acres, and I have all different sorts of grasses in the lawn. Most of it is fescue, but I did have a big area that it was zoysia, and over the last couple of years, it all sort of died. So last fall, I went out and aerated and then put in some grass seed, but I didn't get to it until towards the end of October, and we got early winter, and nothing sprouted from that. So this about 2 weeks ago, I sprayed some Spectracide weed stop over most of it and killed most of the weeds because it's almost all weeds and no grass, you know, in some big areas. And now those seem to have died, and I'm thinking about today aerating those areas again and putting some more grass seed down. Is that a complete and total waste of my time and money, or is it worthwhile doing?
No, you probably got an opportunity. This would be, I mean, ideally you would be doing it in September as far as the cool season grass and everything else. But the month of May, you know, grass seed should be able to get established, even the cool season grasses, the fescues and bluegrasses. And because you know they're headed towards dormancy when the weather, you know, gets really, really hot. So the new, you know, newly germinated seed, it may not have the opportunity or the chance for, you know, it to survive totally and completely. But you're probably fine to do it. Just, you know, it sounds like you got the sequence right, and just go for it.
All right. Thanks for your help. And
yep.
Thanks for your
now
show.
Let's go. Well, thank you for having me on your show. And let's leave St. Charles and go to Berkeley, and that's where Fred lives. Hi, Fred.
Hey, how you doing?
Very good.
Yeah, could you give me an idea of what I can, what grass seed I can use in a clay type soil?
Clay without any kind of improvements at all? I would say you're better off just to let the weeds grow. I mean, it's going to be very, very difficult for any of this, you know, let's say classic traditional type grass seed. If the soil hasn't been improved at all, if you're not core aerating, you're not putting in compost, nothing that, like that down at all. It's going to be just very tough. So you might just take the philosophy my father had. If it's green, it's good. And just because you're not going to have a successful lawn, it's never probably going to be thick, regardless of, you know, what kind of seed you put down, how much, you know, how often you put it down or anything else.
All righty. Well, I appreciate you. I listen to you from time to time when I'm rolling. So thank you.
Yes. And, you know, I hate to be brutally honest, but if you wanted to try a seed, you know, it would be a K31 fescue. That's probably the toughest grass seed there is. But consequently, to have a thick, successful lawn, you're going to have a really tough, tough, rough time. So thanks a lot, Fred. And now let's go to Sunset Hills, and that's where Sue lives. Hi, Sue.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, it's not Saturday unless we're listening to the Mike Miller Show here. So my husband is out shoveling St. Louis compost, the Black Forest variety, on the berm as we speak, and I'm in here talking to you. So my question is, we have a berm in the open sun, and I want to put roses on it. But the yard is so open, I'd like to have a small open tree at the end of the berm. The morning sun would hit the roses, but the evening sun, the hot evening sun, afternoon sun, that's where the tree would be. And I'm thinking of, although I'm very envious of the dogwood show this year, they're gorgeous, but I am on the hunt for a fringe tree. I have contacted some nurseries, and no one has one. They wish they did, and they have a bush variety, perhaps, but no tree. And so that's where I'm at with that, and I thought, well, I'll just ask Mike and see if he knows what to do.
Well, I mean, I don't know which nurseries you've called, but I would probably check. There's a couple nurseries. I would just go online and put, you know, local, you know, some of the local nurseries, like Frisella or something like that, and because they kind of specialize in, let's say, more or less native-type plants. So mm-hmm. I think there's going to be some places that are going to have them. I don't know where you actually looked, you know, by living in Sunset Hills. Have you checked, there's a, you know, garden center on Big Bend just south of Highway 40. So just look around, and I think you're going to be able to find it.
Okay. Is that a good choice?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, that's a good choice. And if you, let's say you get, you don't want, let's say, take a look at, there's other trees that are going to be a little bit smaller. Are you wanting something why are you choosing the Friends tree? Let me put it that way.
Well, I like white blossom, and and I wanted something native and something small and open and airy.
Okay, I would look at, there's a actually a tree which has smaller flowers than the dogwood. It's called serviceberry. S-E-R-V-I-C-E-B-E-R-R-Y. I would spell the genus, but Amelanchier is the actual genus. So you can go to the Missouri Botanical Garden website and, you know, look at serviceberry, because there's tree form, there's shrub form, but they're tough, they're durable, they give you spring flowers pre-dogwood time and that are white, a little bit smaller. They give you red berries and good fall color as well.
All right. That's all the things that I wanted in that tree. So that would work. I appreciate it. Okay. Yep. Thank you so much. You have a good rest
Certainly.
Of the day.
Well, same to you. Now let's go out to Washington, Missouri. And Maureen, how are you?
Hi, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
And I have a dogwood question. I agree with you. The dogwoods are beautiful this year, which is causing dogwood envy for me. So, I do have a dogwood I planted 3 years ago. It was about 2 feet. It was kind of a sapling, I guess.
Right.
And so, now it's about 4 feet, maybe 4.5 feet, and it has yet to bloom. This is my third year.
Where did you get this sapling?
I got it from a nursery, a local nursery. It was a promotion for the city, Washington, and it was like you make a donation or contribution, and you get the sapling. So it was handled through a local nursery.
That's fine. That's great. The reason why I'm asking that is because if it came from, you know, the Audubon Society or something like that, which this kind of sounds like it is, this is a native dogwood that's not a hybrid. This is strictly Cornus Florida. It's not Cornus Florida with a third name after that. The non-hybrid dogwoods, the Cornus Floridas, which are the native dogwoods, you may have to wait 10 to 12 years before you're going to get any flowers off of it. Yes.
Okay. You know what it's doing? It doesn't really have leaves. It just has like a little tip. There's like a little thing growing off the end. It looks like it's going to turn into a leaf. And just almost every branch, it looks like, has this little tip coming off of it.
And, well, that should be the foliage. You're
the
not going to have any flowers. Right. So you're not going to have flowers. Yep. Sorry.
Whoa. So what kind do I get for blooming? Is it three words?
Yes.
Three,
you want Cornus? Cornus, Florida, and then another name after that.
Alrighty. Thanks, Mike.
So that's just a particular species that's been hybridized to bloom at a younger age. So that's what, you know, we're talking about there. So Mike Miller, KMOX Garden Hotline, we are live and lively as we are neighbors united on Earth Day and every day with goodwill and Boy Scouts together. So back after these messages.
The Blues, the Stanley Cup playoffs.
3 seconds left. Oh. They feed in front of the man. He can't connect and bring out the Zamboni. The Blues will take game number one.
Round two, game two, this afternoon. Pre-game show 1:30. The puck drops at 2. Hear the game on Y98 FM. Streaming on KMOX.com and radio.com. This is the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with your host, Mike Miller, on KMOX.
Yes, folks, we are live and lively in a Deerberg's parking lot on North Highway 67 / Lindbergh, and it's one of the numerous locations where Goodwill's Earth Day commitment comes alive. Neighbors united on Earth Day and every day. That's Goodwill and Boy Scouts. And one of the Boy Scouts is joining me right now, so when you come by to make your donation, he'll help you get the things out of your car. Rondi, how are you today?
I'm doing okay.
Okay, and how about donation-wise? You had a few?
Yeah.
And so what Boy Scout troop are you with?
950.
950, and where's that located?
That's located in...
Is it Florissant? Or?
Yeah, it's in Florissant.
So what made you join the Boy Scouts?
Because I wanted to do stuff that regular people don't actually get to do.
Really? Like, that's cool.
Like go camping in the woods and doing knots and other stuff that people don't usually do.
Right. That's great. When you get experiences like that, they'll stay with you for your entire lifetime.
Yeah.
And even you though might not remember them specifically, it'll just be part of the whole, you know, stature of your character and as you get older. So,
yeah.
You know, I don't want to ask you too many of a personal question, but how old are you?
I'm 13.
13? So how long have you been in the Boy Scouts?
Ever since I was 8 or 7.
You're kidding?
Yes.
Wow. So you must be close to a general.
No.
So, how long are you going to stay? Till 3 o'clock?
Yes.
So when people come, all they need to do is pull up next to the trailer, and then you'll help them get their stuff out?
Yeah.
Perfect. Well, thanks, Rondé.
Mm-hmm.
Great. So, greatly appreciate it. Got anybody you want to say hi to?
Oh, no.
No? How about your mom? His mom's standing right here. Or maybe that's your sister.
No.
Well, thanks a lot. Greatly appreciate you coming on air.
Thanks.
So let's go back to the phones now. Let's head to Bridgeton and go into Ann's yard. Hi, Ann.
Hi, Mike. My apple trees this year are beautiful and loaded with blooms, and it's probably too many. A couple of times in the past, about June, the apples all fell off the tree, and I had talked to you about it, and you said it was probably the tree's way of saying there were too many apples.
Right.
My question is, how do I thin them? The trees are about 30 feet tall.
Whoa! Unless you're a squirrel, you're not going to be able to do it, unless you got some kind of really totally wild, you know, ladder system to get up there. So there's not really too much you can do. So these are obviously standard type apples. They're probably very old trees if they're going to be that big. So there's not really too much you can do. I mean, you can't
just
go up there and...
Would it help to just go up and trim some with a long trimmer and take a few of the branches off here and there?
The branches is not the problem. It's actually the fruits. So if you start cutting the branches, what you do, yes, you reduce the amount of fruit, but you also reduce the amount of foliage, and consequently that could have an impact just on the tree in general, and especially, you know, anything that's older, whether it's older person like me or an older tree like the apples you have or anything else, sometimes changes can really have a detrimental impact.
Okay, so I just wait and see if it happens again this year, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, there's not really... My guess is there's going to be huge amounts of fruit set because this year, with all the flowering and everything else, with all the trees and shrubs, I haven't seen any kind of winter damage on anything. So a 30-foot tree, there's not really too much you can do. You could take off some of the fruit on the lower branches, but if it's the weight of the fruit that's causing cracks or something like that in the branches... That's a potential problem. Water run down the trunk or the branches and then gets in, you know, into the more or less the interior, into the crack. It could cause some, your heartwood rot or something along that line.
I haven't seen that. But
good.
Like the apples that fall are mushy, like, you know.
Right.
And it's way too early for them to be ripe.
Oh, yeah. Way too, well, you've actually had apples, you haven't had any apples set yet, have you?
No, this is in the past.
Okay.
When the apples fall off.
Yeah, I was going to say, wow. You must have, you know, some kind of really exotic apple in a very warm, you know, climate.
Well, so, they're yellow delicious, so I don't think that's too exotic.
Well, thanks, Ann, but really there's not too much you can do. Maybe, I wouldn't prune off any branches. If you can have somebody help you that could get up on a ladder that could take some of the fruit off in the higher branches, that would probably be my recommendation. Now let's go to Carla, and Carla is in Granite City. Hi, Carla.
Hey, good morning. I've got two questions for you. One is about a pipe vine. I'm trying to attract pipe vine swallowtails to my yard. And the other one is I've got two peonies that have come up, and they're kind of small and spindly. Is that because of improper planting depth, or is it a sunshine factor, or what?
It could be sunshine. It could be improper planting. How long ago were they planted?
I do not know. I just acquired the property last fall.
So basically, it sounds like they're not in good shape. The peonies should, they normally bloom around Memorial Day, so they should be full size. You should have your buds on the end of the, you know, the stems for the flowers. So consequently, if you don't have anything like that at all, it's, you know, these don't sound so good. So what you might do is just consider trying to, you know, pop them up out of the ground, take a look at them. They may have been planted too deep. They may, you know, they want to be in full sun all day long every day to get the best flowering and the best foliage. But if they don't look healthy, that's not a good sign. That's not going to, you know, the chances of them doing better is going to be somewhat limited.
Okay, yeah, they're in a pretty shady spot. That's probably the problem.
Absolutely, and especially if the shade's created by trees, competition with the tree roots is not good.
Okay, I will put them in a sunny spot and see what I get next year.
All right. Yeah, just dig them up, put them in a pot, leave them in the pot, just sink the pot in a, you know, in a sunny location in your landscape someplace, and grow them in a pot for a couple years and see what happens.
Okay. All right. And what's your knowledge about a pipe vine?
You know, it kind of rings a bell, but it doesn't. You know, I can't really give you any sort of insight. Why don't you send me an email, and I'll get you some information on it.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. Have a great day.
Well, thank you, and thanks to everybody here and at Deerberg's. Wow, we're getting some wind. We're getting some rain. It's really quite the interesting location. And it's Neighbors United on Earth Day, not the location's problem. It's the weather's problem. Every day, the scouts are here, Goodwill's here, and it's to collect things. So, wow. Just take it easy if you want to drop off some things. Not only this Deerberg's, but also Deerberg's across the metropolitan area. If you're not exactly sure where, you can go to mirrorsgoodwill.org. That will list the locations where you can drop off. And make sure you just take some time and appreciate what nature's done for us this spring. It's just been nothing short of spectacular. As you know, I keep mentioning it, but I've just been kind of overwhelmed. Every area that I go to for my walk and talks or for the remote broadcast, I'm just, like I said, amazed at how well the spring has been and how nice it's actually been. So, but if you have any questions or concerns, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. I will see you after the news.
KMOX is at your service. Welcome to the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline. Celebrating 25 years as your host of the Garden Hotline. Here's Mike Miller on KMOX.
Good gardening, folks. We are live and lively from the Deerberg's parking lot at 222 North Highway 67, which is Lindbergh, one of the numerous locations where Goodwill's Earth Day commitment comes alive. Goodwill has Boy Scouts. They're partnered with the Boy Scouts, and what they're doing is taking donations from you, and you'll get actually a voucher to get half off on a Cardinal game tickets. So the neat thing about that is there's Boy Scouts here. You just pull up, they'll take the stuff out of your car and everything else. So what could be greater than that? They're going to be here till 3 o'clock this afternoon. And right now, Alex is engineering. Greg is back in studio, and I'll be giving the tip of the trowel shortly, but if you have any questions or concerns, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. How about your pansies? They should still be looking spectacular. And down to 38, they could care less. How about your spring flowering bulbs? Probably most of those may be finished. Your edibles, your ground covers, your houseplants, your tropicals, your lawn, your perennials, roses, tree shrubs, vines, or water gardens. You can, But please remember, my answers, comments, and opinions is strictly offered to you that may help, but it's certainly not the only garden path to follow. I'm Mike Miller. I've been hosting the Garden Hotline for 25 years now. It seems incredible. How could I be that old? I don't feel that old. But anyway, I've written 5 gardening books. 2 are currently available at various locations. I write articles for the Missouri Gardener magazine, And I can do something, which I do during the week, is landscape consulting, which I call a walk and talk. You can go to my website, MikeMillerDesigns.com, and on the homepage, you'll find my phone number and my email address, and we can schedule a walk and talk in your yard. Today, after the show, I'm going to be going to Maryland Heights and then Kirkwood after that. And I come rain or shine. I don't care. So that's just how it is. Today's tip of the trowel, which is a special recognition of individual group or situation that's made an impression on me, is brought to you by St. Louis Composting, the 636-861-3344. Today's tip of the trowel, actually, I think today is actually the day when this is happening. Another wild day. But the Webster Groves Herb Society, they're having their sale till 2 o'clock, started at 8:30 at the First Congregational Church of Webster Groves on Lockwood Avenue. Admission's free, parking's free, and the Herb Society, I believe they have over 10,000 herbs and various other plants as well. So today for the, I mean, it's a fantastic event and everything else. And also at the Botanical Garden today, you know, that was Webster Groves Herb Society. It's not at the Botanical Garden. But today and tomorrow, they have the Chinese Culture Days at the Botanical Garden. So there's going to be a grand parade, a 70-foot dancing dragon, authentic regional cuisine, and Tai Chi, and all kinds of other stuff going on as well. So you can go buy herbs. You can come up here to make a donation for the Goodwill and Boy Scouts and everything else. And also, you know, have fun by going to the Botanical Garden. So, and joining me right now is Michelle. Michelle, how come you're here?
Well, I'm part of the Gardeners of Florissant, and we are having a plant sale next Friday and Saturday, May 3rd and May 4th. We're having the plant sale in conjunction with the Valley of Flowers Festival. It's on the James J. Egan Center ice rink. The hours for the sale are Friday 12 to 9 and Saturday 9 to 5 or until the plants are gone. We have a large variety of annuals, perennials, vegetables, hanging baskets. We have a bunch of tomatoes, different varieties of tomatoes, some heirloom and such. So we hope to see you there, and thank you.
Wait a second. A question for what you said. You said the sale is on the ice rink, so people are going to have to go out onto the ice?
No, there's no ice. It's dry. And there will also be some crafts and stuff. But
well, great. It's a great event.
Yes, it is.
So, well, thanks for coming by and letting us know.
We hope we see everyone. Like I say, we have a large variety. Some of them are dug out of our own gardeners' yards.
So. So again, it's next Saturday?
Next Saturday.
What's the time?
It is 9. It's next Friday and Saturday.
Oh, Friday
is noon to 9 p.m. And Saturday is 9 to 6 p.m. But usually the plants are gone by 2 or 3.
Okay, great. Well, thanks, Michelle.
Thank you.
That was very nice of her. She came by, and you get to hear about some other great events going on in the metropolitan area. Let's see if we can get one call in before we go to break. Let's go to John, and John is in Chesterfield. Hi, John.
Good morning. Hey, I was looking forward to going out on the ice to buy those plants. I was disappointed
to
be dry. I got a couple of questions. A short one and a longer one for you. Did I hear you correctly about 45 minutes ago that it's okay to start putting out grass seed now?
It's, you know, normally May is about the last time you want to be putting any kind of grass seed down. And earlier in May is, you know, is better. Because if you put it down too much earlier than that, the ground is still pretty cold, and then consequently, you know, then the seed's not going to germinate anyway. And then certainly you can't put the grass seed down if you put a pre-emergent down recently.
Right.
So there's a couple other factors as well.
Okay, so put it off a week or so?
Yeah.
Okay. The major question I got is on ever-blooming azaleas. 3 falls ago, I bought 3 plants, 2 red and 1 white, and they looked somewhat different on the foliage. So the first spring, it sort of was Second spring, the white one bloomed, and it bloomed sort of off and on. The red ones didn't. It's too early for this spring, but the major thing is the white one looked like it was a deciduous plant. There was absolutely no leaves on it. I was getting ready to dig it up yesterday, and I looked, and the entire plant is full of buds of what looks like leaves getting ready to bud out. Is that normal? Have you ever heard of that?
To be honest with you, I don't know the ever-blooming azalea varieties. Now, does that mean you're going to, in theory, supposed to get multiple flowers off the azaleas?
Yes, and the white one actually did. It was blooming almost all summer last summer.
Really? That's kind of incredible. See, the azaleas, they're in full bloom right now throughout the metropolitan area. But I'm not really personally familiar with the continuous blooming varieties. Hydrangeas and other things, but not with the azaleas. So that's a new one on me. I'll have to take a look and, get some information on that.
Okay, so just wait and see what happens. Decide whether
I
want to dig it up.
Yeah, make sure that, you're using acid-based fertilizer so you're. It sounds like you're doing everything exactly as you should.
So the foliage was fine on all three of them last year, and like I said, the white one was blooming just great. The red ones have never bloomed.
Never bloomed at all?
Turned into never bloom.
But the foliage on the... The white, there's flower buds now, but the other ones have had, leaf buds now, but the other ones have had leaves, or are they all deciduous? I'm a little bit confused because I don't know the variety.
The ones that were red, they lose a lot of their leaves. I prune them back, and then the leaves come back. You get the foliage. I know if on regular azalea, I know if you prune it in the spring, you're not going to get a flower.
Right, because you're cutting off the flower buds.
Right, yeah. But it's just weird. I'm halfway thinking we'll just pitch them and get a normal one.
Well, you might have something that could turn into be something totally exotic, so who knows? But the choice is yours. You got a limited space in your landscape, and, I would say, again, I'm not familiar with a continuous blooming azalea.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you.
Well, thank you. And Mike Miller, KMOX Garden Hotline, back after these messages.
Let's go Blues!
The Blues are in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And where can you hear all the action and get the latest Blues news? On Y98FM, KMOX.com, and your voice of the St. Louis Blues, KMOX.
Let's go Blues!
Welcome back to the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline. Once again, here's Mike Miller on KMOX.
Yes, folks, back to the phones we go. If you have any questions or concerns, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Let's head down to Shirley's yard, and Shirley lives in Festus. Shirley, how are you today?
Good morning. I just have
good
one
morning.
Question. I wanted to see what time of the year you trim my Hicks yews.
Your Hicks yews.
Yes.
Basically, the new growth, you can prune. Personally, I don't like to prune going into winter time because if we have a severe winter, you can have some major damage to the branches, and you've already cut off some. So anytime coming out of winter time, sometime around Valentine's Day, sometime before the weather starts getting too hot. So let's say Valentine's Day till mid-May or so.
Okay. We cut the tops off. We're using them for a hedge. We keep the tops flat. And they get this new growth out this time of the year, and I was wondering if I could cut that off later, like next month maybe.
I wouldn't do it too late because what happens is the new growth that's there now is kind of protecting the older needles, even though they've been exposed to the sun and everything else. But they've kind of gotten a little bit used to being a little bit more shaded because of the new growth. You cut that off, and then if we get some really hot, intense, sunny days, you could actually sunburn some of the needles in the areas where you've actually removed all the new or removed some of the new growth. That's the only disadvantage of doing it when it starts getting a little bit, let's say, intense as far as the amount of sunlight and everything.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Sure, and the Hicks yew is one of my favorite because it just grows straight up, and all you have to do is control the height, so that's a good choice. Now let's go now to Defiance in Julie's yard. Hi, Julie.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I've got a question. I'm going into the second year of my sod being planted in my backyard. Everything looks really wonderful except this small hill. Now, we re-sodded some edges because I felt like they really didn't roll the sods to adhere or something like that to adhere to the soil. So I took off the mesh area because it's kind of spotty on that little hill. But there's like clumps that actually look great. And I didn't know whether I should resod the whole hill, because it's like a 5x5 area, or should I amend it with some fescue seed, or what should I do?
It's kind of a personal choice. Now, when they laid the sod, did they core aerate, you know, prepare the soil ahead of time before they laid the sod down, or did they just lay the sod down?
They prepared the soil. They took all the scrapings and everything off, and then we added some topsoil, and then we laid. We had the irrigation system put in, and then we put the sod on top of that.
So the topsoil that you added, was that mixed in with the existing soil or just laid on top?
Both.
Okay, so if it was mixed in, then that's fine. That's perfect. So I would say, you know, you've got some, let's say, the hillside, for whatever reason, is having a little bit of difficulty. If you're really wanting instant results, obviously you're going to go get some sod. But I think you should probably get, you know, maybe try some seed and see what you think. If you're not happy with the seed next September, you know, you can go and do some another, let's say, application of seed, or do the sod in September as well.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you so much, Mike. Appreciate it.
Certainly. Now let's go to Joe, and Joe is in St. Charles. Hi, Joe.
Good morning, Mike. Got a couple of questions for you. I need your expertise here and guidance. I've detected recently some small red pinhead-sized dots on my silverleaf maple on upper surface of the leaf. Don't know what it is. What do I need to do to prevent any further damage or growth?
It's probably a sting from an insect, so that's causing that bloated growth. So I would say there's not really too much you can do. It's not really going to impact your foliage all that much, and I wouldn't worry too much about it, to be honest.
The water hose and let it go.
I didn't quite hear what you just said.
Yeah, would it be best if you just take a water hose to the silverleaf maple?
No, the silver maples are just, you know, they're the fast growers or the weak wooded, and I just spraying them off with a hose, I wouldn't worry about it.
Okay. Yeah. And my final question has to do with burning bushes. I just recently had about half a dozen burning bushes added to my property around the foundation. And one of the existing old bushes is overly sized. Is this a bad time or a good time to go ahead and trim it back?
Again, we're starting to get into the time, hopefully, that there's going to be some intense sun and everything else. You can go ahead and prune it, get it done as soon as you possibly can, but you want to make sure that you don't do any pruning during, let's say, much past mid-May, because the foliage that's now fully exposed, you know, because you've cut off some stuff, is now going to be, you know, gone, and then the foliage that's lower than that is going to be exposed to the sun, and you may get some sunburn on it. That's why I don't like to prune getting, you know, as let's say the weather gets intensely summerish.
Would it
and
be
or winterish?
Oh, trim it back.
Yeah, so I would get it done very quickly if you're going to do it now.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate your service.
Yep. Well, thank you, and thanks for having me on your show. Mike Miller, KMOS Garden Hotline, back after these messages.
On the next edition of The First 11 with Bill McDermott.
Hey, there's lots of MLS news affecting St. Louis, so consequently, we're going to talk with Jim Cavanaugh. He's with the MLS for the new ownership group. Plus, we'll talk with former national team member St. Louisan, Lori Kolupny-Lawson. Also, Mike Sorber. He's with LAFC. He's their director of soccer operations. We'll talk to Mike about LAFC, as well as his career with the national team and MLS as both a player and coach.
The First 11 is sponsored by Bud Light, Game Day's favorite light lager, and famous among friends. The First 11. Check it out now at kmox.com/soccer.
This is the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with your host, Mike Miller, on KMOX.
Next, folks, back to the phones we go. We're headed to Litchfield, and we're going into Susan's yard. Hi, Susan.
Hi there.
Hi.
This is just a comment. I heard the lady say her Yellow Delicious tree was like an overachiever. We had that problem, and a friend of ours who is a nurseryman, apple orchard gardener, he said, after they bloom and get little apples as big as a pencil eraser, to douse them really, really good, the whole tree, of course, hers is awfully tall, with seven, and that will make some abort. Because my tree had gotten, yes, my tree had gotten into a feast or famine. One year I'd have hundreds, the next I'd have like 16, maybe 20. And we did what he said, and now we seem to be in more of a normal crop rotation.
So you're saying spray seven, which is an insecticide?
Yes, I know it sounds. Wow. That was our. We were surprised too, but we did, and it worked.
All right. Well, great. Well, thanks for the insight.
You're welcome. Thank you.
That's a new one on me, so you never know. Let's go from Litchfield out to St. Charles. Patty, what's going on in your yard?
Hi, Mike. Hey, my question, I have a couple questions, but the first one is I planted a Japanese maple 2 years ago, and it's beautiful, but it's sprouting out of the trunk now. It's kind of starting to look like a bush. And I was wondering, I'm sure I should trim that, but when should I trim it and how far down should I trim it?
So what you're talking about, this is some like suckers coming off the root system, or is it coming off actually the trunk?
The trunk. It's coming off the trunk.
I would say go ahead and cut those off at any time and cut them, you know, fairly close to the actual trunk.
Okay. And like to where the trunk V's? Up to that high?
It depends upon you. If you don't want to have any of the suckers coming off the trunk, the new growth like that, then just, you know, remove them all.
Okay, great. And anytime, I can do that now.
Yeah, you can do, basically the maples, they really prefer to be pruned in the summertime, but with sucker growth, you could do that now.
Okay, because it's starting to look like a bush, and okay. I don't want a bush, I want a tree.
Right.
Okay, my next question is, I planted a small garden, and your opinion on putting grass clippings on it to keep the weeds down or not?
I don't think that works.
No, it doesn't work.
Yeah, I'm just worried about the grass clippings as far as, you know, holding the moisture and everything else, causing potential fungus problems. I mean, there's going to be plenty of people that call and say they've had great luck doing that, but I would say, you know,
Just kind of weed it. Just keep the weeds down.
Exactly. Right.
Okay. Wonderful. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Well, great. Well, thanks for having me on your show. Now let's go to Jim, and Jim is in Baldwin. Hi, Jim. Hello, Jim.
Hello.
Hello. Yes, go ahead.
Hey, I'm in Staunton, Illinois. The reason I'm calling... We have a cherry tree in our backyard. Beautiful cherries every year, but right about the time they start turning red, getting ready to pick, they get moldy. Is there something I can spray on there?
Yeah, I would go to your favorite garden center and tell them the circumstances that you're having, and they would probably recommend an organic fungicide to spray on your fruits.
Organic fungicide. That's what I'll do. One more question.
Right, great. Okay.
Reseeded this spring. In the winter, I put on this weed and feed with winterizer, but I got tons of weeds coming up, them little purple flowers. Is there anything I can do?
Well, weed and feed is basically effective against, let's say, perennial plants that are already there growing. What you're seeing, the weeds that are coming up, are annual-type weeds that have germinated. So the pre-emergent would have to be what you would use to, you know, control that. So it's really too late, since the weeds are already up, to use the pre-emergent, obviously. But you might try a broadleaf weed killer and see how that's going to work as far as getting them under control.
How long should I wait before I put that on, since I'd reseed it?
How long ago do you reseed?
Oh, about a month ago.
Oh, you should be fine.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Don't use it. Don't use a grass killer. Make sure it's a broadleaf weed killer.
Broadleaf weed killer. Thank you.
Right. Okay, great. And now let's go to Norma in the city of St. Louis. Hi, Norma.
Hi. How are you, Mike?
Very good.
I have a friend in central Missouri that has two or three pin oaks in her yard,
and she said that there's something on them called galls, G-A-L-L-S, right. And she said they're caused by wasps, and she has already lost one tree from that, and it's working on the other two. What is that, and how do you get rid of it?
Basically, there's no control for it. And what it is, it's very small wasp, not classic wasp. They lay their eggs on the branch, and as a protective mechanism, they cause that bloating, those galls. Usually it doesn't kill the tree unless they get so big that they actually cause branches to crack, and then moisture gets in there, and you have heartwood rot and things along that line. So I'm really surprised it actually killed it unless they've been, you know, she's had problems with it for multiple years.
Yeah.
So there's nothing that's effective against them.
Well, they look pretty big. A couple of the ones that she took a picture of on the tree were as big as tennis balls.
Yes, right. So in other words, sometimes they go back, and the adult wasp will just lay eggs on the, let's say, the bloating, the gall, because it's, you know, it's just easier for them. So there's not, there's really nothing to be done.
Yeah, that's too bad. I'll tell her. Now, I have a dwarf burning bush in my backyard. It's in its third year, and it has never turned red. It has a few leaves on it that look like they're trying really hard to turn red. But I am very disappointed because I love burning bushes, and I don't understand why it doesn't turn red. Is there anything I can do to make it turn red?
No, you really can't do anything. Is it in full sun?
It's in full sun, and I paid somebody to put it in, and it just hasn't done anything, and I am super disappointed.
Yeah, I would say it might be just that individual plants as opposed to just a burning bush in general. But if it's in full sun, it has a lot of leaves on them, and they're not, you know, giving you any kind of color, I'm not going to say that you should, but you probably should just get rid of it and try to get another one.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to give it one more chance.
Okay.
And see what happens.
Now, if it was speckled looking and things like that, as opposed to the leaves looking good and green and everything else.
It looks very healthy.
Yeah, there's spider mite problems that cause, let's say, the lack of coloration. But it sounds like everything's good.
Yeah.
It's just a bad shrub.
Well, should he pay for that then, or how does that work?
You know, that's something I don't know. I can't answer that.
Well, that when you pay so much money to have plants put in and then stuff like that happens, I don't know.
Right.
And then one more thing. I have a dogwood that was planted last year. It obviously didn't flower last year because it was planted after the flowering time. But this year it flowered out with some really beautiful flowers on it in the lower two-thirds. The top branches really didn't get any flowers on. That doesn't mean they won't get some next year, does it?
No, it does not.
Yeah, okay, I was so happy to see it bloom. It was very pretty.
Right. Well, that sounds great.
Yes, the dogwoods were spectacular this year. They really
were.
And
still are.
Yes.
Yep.
Oh, I know. They're gorgeous. Thank you so much for taking my call. Thanks.
Bye-bye. Pleasure. 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120 if you have any questions, comments, or concerns. Garden Hotline's got a few more minutes to go, and we'll talk to you after these messages.
Get ready for the Cards and Reds this afternoon. Ammon Total Access 1220. First pitch 1:15. Hear it here on your voice of the St. Louis Cardinals. KMOX. Welcome back to the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline. Once again, here's Mike Miller on KMOX.
Yes, folks, we're live and lively from the Deerbergs on North Limburg, or actually North Highway 67. And if you've got some donations you'd like to give to Goodwill during the Neighbors United on Earth Day and every day. They've got Boy Scouts here to take the things right out of your car, so it's working. I mean, what a great combination, Boy Scouts and Goodwill. If you've got more information about locations besides the one we're broadcasting from, you can go to mirrorsgoodwill.org, and it will list all the locations. I think there's 10 or 11 or 12 different locations that this is happening. And let's go right now to Eileen, and she lives in West County. Hi, Eileen.
Hi, Mike. Good morning.
Hi.
And I so enjoy your show. I was thinking maybe your listeners would be interested in an upcoming event that I just heard about last week while at a talk at the Garden, the annual herb sale sponsored by the St. Louis Herb Society is going to begin next Thursday for members only. and then it will be open to the public on Friday from 9 to 5. But I think everyone's itching to get out in the garden and plant, so just wanted to put that on your listeners' radar.
All right, sounds perfect. Well, thanks, Eileen. Now let's go to Breeze, Illinois, and Don, how are you today?
Ron.
Oh.
Ron.
Oh, it's Ron, hello? Sorry. Yes, go ahead, Ron.
I wonder if I could fertilize my knockout roses occasionally through the growing season, and if now would be a good time to start.
Yeah, you should fertilize them every month through the entire growing season. As soon as the new growth starts emerging from the foliage, you can make the first application of fertilizer. I use rose food. I recommend using rose food because it's going to have some of the, let's say, micronutrients that maybe regular fertilizer doesn't have, which are going to benefit your roses. So then monthly, all the way up and with the last feeding, it's going to be weather dependent, but sometime probably in late September.
Okay. I do have rose food. Thank you very much.
Perfect. Now let's go to Carol, and she lives in Florissant, so she must be very close to where we're broadcasting from. Hi, Carol.
Yes, hi. How are you? I'm
very
trying
good.
To find out what type of shady shrub can I put that flowers. I have an azalea that's dead now, and it's been there about 15 years. But my trees have gotten bigger, and it's not getting as much light as it used to.
So what time of the year do you want it to bloom, let's put it that way?
Well, I don't care as long as it blooms. I would like to have something that blooms all year, but if not, as long as it does bloom to give me some color.
Now, how much, so is this total 100% shade or is this part shade?
Well, like right now, the leaves are starting to come on the trees, so it's not as much shade. But you know, as the season goes, I have more shade.
There's a shrub called Sweet Spire. The genus is Itea, I-T-E-A. Take a look at that one. It has nice fragrance. It's really pretty reliable as flowering goes. It is deciduous, so it's going to lose its leaves. Take a look at also maybe an oak leaf hydrangea, which is going to be a little bit bigger shrub than the Itea. It's going to be much more vertical. The Itea could probably get maybe 3 feet high, 3 feet wide, where the oak leaf hydrangea is probably going to get about 6 or 7 feet high with multiple stems coming out of it. So those are probably two I'd look at. If you wanted something to bloom very early in the season, a witch hazel would be something to consider. It's going to bloom in the springtime and then just be foliage for the rest of the time. So maybe a combination of all those.
Okay, the witch hazel does have flowers?
Yes, witch hazel has yellow flowers in the springtime.
Okay, and so the leaves die out in the winter, or are they still
right.
green?
All three of these are deciduous.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and if you wanted something maybe kind of unique that's not really flowering, but it's going to give you a great impact, there's a shrub called red twig dogwood. It's in the dogwood family. It's not a classic dogwood. It's a shrub. It has multiple branches, and they're vibrant, bright red. And so in the wintertime, that's what you're going to see, really bright red twigs. But in the summertime, if you get the variegated one, meaning the foliage is going to be light green and white, then it's going to look like just a giant white, shrub, which you would kind of think, well, maybe it's in flower, but it's really just the foliage. So you're going to get a really good impact off the foliage of that.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, thank you very much.
Certainly. Yeah, and the red twig dogwood is tough. It's durable. It can take a wet soil. It can take sun. It can take shade. So that would be one to consider. Barbara is in Fairview Heights. Hi, Barbara.
Good morning.
Hi.
My mom, in her flower bed, she has a small, it's in its second year, red, one of those small decorative red maples. And she offered it to me. I do have a spot for it. And just wondering when would be a good time to transplant that. It is in its second year.
I would probably say September would be the best time to move it.
And it will develop roots enough that it would not freeze during that time, or over the winter?
Basically, what happens is, transplanting in the fall, is the soil is really warm, so that encourages root growth. So that's why it would be, you know, a good time to be, you know, transplanting it.
Okay.
And probably, I would say, oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, probably if it's only 2 years old in the same spot, there probably hasn't been that much root advancement. So, but just realize, you know, when you dig it up, put it in a pot to move it, don't, you know, and, you know, just be careful with it. Make sure when you replant it that you water it really well and plant it. Dig the hole 3 times the diameter of the root ball, but only about 75 to 80% is deep. So the top of the root ball, the crown, is going to be above the surrounding ground.
Okay. I was just going to leave it where it is. My mom lives close to me. So I was just going to leave it there until September.
Okay. That's fine.
That would be okay. All right.
Sure.
Now, we have, at the back of our house, we have 3 arborvitaes that have grown to where they are blocking, looking out of our, you know, the windows in the back of the house, two-story.
Right.
Can you top those, or does it look like they've had a crew cut?
Yeah, they don't look so good when they've been pruned.
Yeah.
There's one of those, you know, one of those plants that doesn't take pruning very well. Makes it look kind of funky.
Makes it look funky. I was thinking that was it. Okay, those are the questions I have, and thank you so much for your help.
Well, great. Well, thank you. And, folks, I think that's going to be our last call for the day. Sorry, Glenn and Steelville, we can't get around to you. But I want to thank the people at Deerberg's for having us in their parking lot. I want to thank to all the people who are dropping some stuff off. There's a gentleman right there. For the Goodwill United, our Neighbors United on Earth Day and every day. It's in combination with the Boy Scouts. The Boy Scouts are in the trailer right now, so as soon as you start bringing stuff up, they come right out of the trailer to get your stuff. So what could be better than that? I don't know what the weather is like where you are, but right now up here in Florissant, it's raining pretty hard. So obviously stay off your lawn. You don't want to compact your lawn by doing a lot of walking or anything when it's wet. But wow, what a spectacular spring this has been. I've said this a couple times, but I still can't get over it. But I want to thank the people from Deerberg's. They came out and asked us if there was anything they could do for us, and we didn't really need anything, but we appreciate them taking the time to ask us. And again, just you know, make some donations and get the voucher for the half off Cardinal ticket. So Mike Miller, KMOX Garden Hotline, we are live and lively, and thanks to Alex here and Greg back in studio. So just have a wonderful day and enjoy. See you next week.